Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley, so to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free, like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo! Woo-hoo!
Live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling Art with Chris Things.
Do the hammer line.
Everybody's doing it. Oh, hello there. Hi, friends. You've stumbled across this little old Wrestling Art with Chris Things podcast. I am Chris Things Brian, your Wrestling Art pal out here in podcast land. You've made it to a Match of the Week episode. We got three matches of the week to get caught up with my good pal, Mr. James Vanderbeek, coming back on the show here. Stoked to have Jeremy back, and I'm stoked to talk about these three matches. It's been a little hot minute since our last edition of the Match of the Week deal. But you know what? It is high time, I say. I don't know where else go with that. Anyway, so that's what we're doing today. We've got three great matches. A Lucha Classic from the early 2000s. Early 90s WCW tag team classic between four of the greatest big old boy wrestlers you ever did see. And then finishing it off with a match that I found to be quite magical between two of my very favorites in Eddie Guerrero and Loki, a weird dream match that happened in 2001 at the Elks Lodge. But more about that later. We'll have Jeremy joining us in a little bit. In the meantime, I thought I'd catch us up on what's happening in the wild world of Chris Things. In last week's episode, I took you a little bit behind the curtain about this traveling art carny life that I've been living. And I'm in the thick of it, guys. I'm near the end. I've had an insane December where I've done big old expo events in Brisbane. Last week was in Melbourne. Shout out to everyone who I got to have wonderful chats with at both of those events. Just this past weekend in Melbourne was just bloody heartwarming, all the support and all of the interesting, cool people that I got to meet. I just really enjoyed getting to chop it up with people. Like, when you're talking to that amount of people through a weekend, these are like 8-hour days or whatever. I'm sitting behind my art carny desk, got all my art around me, and, people are just wandering on up and like, hey, what's going on here? You go through waves of delirium, I like to call it. Sometimes you might be a little low energy, and I feel bad for those ones because I want to always, bring the best self that I can, but I am a human. That's why I have my big old jug of coffee there with me. If you ever see me at these in-person events, you'll probably get a strong smell of freshly brewed coffee. I don't know how I'm going to pull that off in Sydney because I'm just going to be staying at an Airbnb, but I'll see if I can make that work. But I'm not getting too distracted here from the point. You got those moments of maybe a bit of low energy, and then you have the moments where you're just like so high, and just sometimes the delirium comes and you just like have those fun, weird kind of like moments, and then some people just vibe with that, and we just get silly and have fun together with our chats about wrestling, about art, about whatever it is. You know, there's this wonderful like Oddities and Curiosities Expo that I've been doing for these past three events, that the last of which coming up this weekend in Sydney. It's such a cool deal because it's like a celebration of weird shit, of you know, gothy stuff, of all sorts of different eccentric kind of things. You know, I guess I got my own kind of like weird side to my art, or you know, whatever that you know may make me qualify for such things. But yeah, it's kind of cool because you get all sorts of weird at these expos. You know, you might get one variety of weird over here, another whole different variety in the next table. But yeah, I just have such a good time at these, and I feel so lucky to be part of them. And yeah, this past weekend in Melbourne was such a good weekend. It just made me real happy to be doing this thing, to be living this life. Just makes me feel so grateful that I'm getting to do this, and most of all that I'm being supported through this by you guys. You know, it's just super nice to get that, you know, you guys indulging my silly passions, I guess. And more than that, you know, indulging this art dream life that I have, that I'm somehow holding on to this roller coaster with everything that I can. You're gonna have busy times, you're gonna have not so busy times, but just keep on keeping on. But yeah, it's a wonderful time, and I'm very thankful and grateful to all of you guys out there for, you know, helping me along the way. All of you all have done your, you know, purchased things from me, the online orders, buying the book, buying the calendar from christhings.com.au. Yeah, just know that I appreciate every one of you, and I do my darndest to try to capture that appreciation in my little note or whatever it is that I'm doing for your order. So yeah, I'm almost at the end of the year as well. That's something. Maybe in our next episode we'll have to do a bit of a year wrap up. Because this year has been very significant. There's been a lot of big milestones that have happened in this year. I think I'm going to look back and be like, man, 2024 was a bit of a life-changing one for me. I don't think we have time to go into it on this one, but yeah, then definitely we'll have a year little wrap-up kind of thing coming up in the next podcast or so. But yeah, for this one, we have some Match of the Week goodness to talk about. And I did also want to wish everyone a bloody merry old Christmas. You know, we're getting at that time of year. Next week is Christmas, which is bloody wild. Or, you know, whatever holiday it is that you might happen to celebrate on such time. Or if you don't celebrate, whatever. I don't know where I'm going here. But yeah, it's an interesting time of year. It's a moment for some of us, you know, you put a pause on the work stuff and focus on, you know, family and together time and all that kind of thing. And I think that's real nice. You know, for me, I've had such a wild time with this work stuff, you know, just traveling interstate every single weekend. You know, I think I got to be back for like 3 days between Melbourne and when I'm going to go down to Sydney very, very early tomorrow morning. But, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. But I guess all I'm trying to say is I'll get to Monday after this weekend, and then I'll have, you know, a brief amount of time before Christmas. So I'll get to sort of, you know, enjoy it at that point. But it's a weird thing when you're doing this art kind of life, because, you know, you want to try to drive it forward as much as you can, but sometimes you do have to take a moment to take a breath, to recalibrate and to soak up these nice moments and beautiful things that are happening and really pay them some appreciation. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to not let it be lost on me. All right, that is about the end, I think, of this rambling nonsense intro here. Could you tell I didn't really plan out what I was going to say? I don't know. Anyway, on to hopefully fun little match of the week session. Let's take it over to Jeremy and Chris in the studio. Okay, friends, we have another match of the week, a little dude to talk about here with the esteemed uncle of Beaks, James Vanderbeek. Jeremy, welcome back to the show, pal.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for having me. A little Foley work. It sounded like a real beer, didn't it?
It really did.
Steve it was Weiser. A real beer. Crazy. Whoa. Yeah. What kind Isn't of it Steve Austin's drinking? Birthday today?
Yeah, it's 60th, right?
That's awesome. I was hoping it was 69. I'm enjoying a hazy Big Ballard from a local brewery called Red Hook.
Ooh.
It's a tasty little number.
That sounds delightful. Mm-hmm. So like a hazy pale, a hazy IPA? What are we talking
about? It's an Imperial IPA hazy style.
Oh, a doubly. Double IPA there. So is that like a high percentage boy then?
Yeah, typically what I try to fucks with is the high percentage mofos. I think it's 8.7. So
oh, yeah.
This podcast will get increasingly more off the rails as we go on.
Oh, lovely. Dude, I love the high percentage ones. So I have to watch myself when I'm getting about them because, you know, few of those. And again, you're off the rails. I've been doing this wrestling club thing lately, and I got to the point where I have to like really, really tidy myself up so I'm not getting too drunk as the evenings proceed. Oh no, have we lost Jeremy? Jeremy!
Hang on, Chris.
Hey!
Hang on, plug in my microphone back in. Well, you said you might have microphone issues, and I'm the one that does.
Yeah.
All right, let's see here, and I...
Chris, am I back?
Hey,
can you hear me?
He's back.
Sorry, guys. Already off the rails. Goodness.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
While you drink your high-impact beers, do you maybe pepper in some waters in between to keep yourself even keel?
I do. I like to pepper in some lagers as well. If I have a nice, like, kind of... 4.5% lager. I find that can be a sensible way to go.
You know what? I might have to take that particular style of drinking into account, man. I normally drink the heavy beers. I try to drink a lot less, typically sticking to the weekends, but I was doing a podcast, so I figured time to imbibe.
Heck yeah. Yeah, man. I the other weeks, like not the most recent wrestling club, but the one before that, I promised everyone at the start of the evening that we would have like a trivia portion of the evening. And then I just got too drunk to actually remember that that was a thing by the end of the evening.
That's hilarious.
So then
every question was about the Ultimate Warrior. Who ran really fast to the ring? Who shook ropes? Damn, it's Ultimate Warrior again.
Tassels.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, the Rockers might have challenged him on that one. I don't know.
But I mean, you add the boots and the arm tassels. I mean,
fair.
Come on now.
Then you have to double up.
I mean,
indeed.
There's quite a few luchadors as well that just have so many tassels. So I don't know.
One of the first PWG shows I went to, Kevin Owens came out with some tassels on his arms, but it. Apparently was supposed to represent his pals, the Young Bucks, but I thought he was doing an Ultimate Warrior thing. So I started asking him, you probably know this story. I started asking him to press slam his opponent, ACH. And he turns to me, he goes, you want me to press slam him? I go, yeah, press slam. You want me to press slam him? And I go, yeah, do it. He goes, I'll do that if you suck Adam Cole's dick to me in front of everybody, popping the crowd huge. Oh man, what a great moment.
Did you like push him on it? Be like, yeah, sure. Where's that dick, man? Let's do it.
No, I sold it like crazy. Like, no, I don't want to suck no dick. And I start doing a dick sucking motion to my mouth. There's a pretty good picture of it somewhere online.
Tremendous, man.
Mm-hmm.
Man, old Steenie was pretty great with the crowd interaction back in the day. Hey.
Yeah, man. He's turned it up a notch as far as back to being a dirty heel attacking the fan favorite Cody Rhodes. But honestly, I prefer a heel Kevin Owens or Kevin Steen to a babyface Kevin Steen any day of the week.
Oh, agreed. Unless he's like that like slight level of meaning to be a babyface teaming with Generico, but you know deep down he's a real piece of shit and he's a scoundrel. Yeah. Oh, I heard he actually did a pretty decent pile driver this time around.
Yeah, I saw some idiot wrestling fans are like, oh, they're teasing Pentagon Jr. with that. I'm like, oh my God, you guys, shut the hell up. He used to do that. He did it after the show, not on TV. Give it a fucking rest.
Oh my golly. So, you, sir, have had some bloody awful, awful health woes lately.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're finally going to a positive place of some constructive things happening. Do you care to fill us in a little bit?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I ever addressed it before, but a while I've had this lump in my jaw for literally years, and it started to get a little bigger. It's like literally right on my cheekbone. Not on my cheek, but more below my ear, right on my jawline. And when it started to get bigger, I got a little concerned and I went into the doctors to take a look at it. They said, yeah, we need to give you a CT scan and get that thing out of there. We got to figure out how to do so. But in the interim, after that happened, I lost my job and therefore I lost my insurance. And when I got new insurance from the state, for some reason, these two organizations could not get their shit together of bringing the imaging from my CT scan from one place to another, which resulted in me actually having to leave work to go grab a CD-ROM of these images and taking them to the other. Oh, it was so ridiculous. When I initially I asked, hey, can I have that emailed to me and I could take it to the doctor? They're like, no, definitely not. So I called the imaging place, the radiology place. I'm like, hey, I want to come get a CD-ROM. They're like, oh, we don't do that anymore, even though I was advised to go get it. And they said, now we email it. And I'm like, oh, you're fucking kidding me. I was already off of work and heading that way. So I said, hey, I'm coming to get the CD, so please give it to me. And they did. And I had to run it from one town to another, just making it under the wire before the place closed so I could give it to them. Otherwise, I would have to take another day off work. And then once I gave it to them, they're like, all right, this tumor thing, we have to review the imaging, but it's going to take 2 weeks for us to get this CD-ROM uploaded into the system. But they finally got back. I know, man. It's fucking insane.
You put
insane.
A CD-ROM into a computer. Come on now.
So I finally got word from them yesterday that the tumor that we thought potentially could be under my salivary glands in my face was actually on top of it, which is actually great news, because if it had been under, I would have had to have my face cut open and then the nerves peeled back to cut this thing off, which could potentially lead to partial facial paralysis. And Chris, you know me, I'm a handsome man. I could be a bit vain. So I did not want a droopy lip or a saggy eye. I didn't want to be the best Jim Ross impression of my friends looking like I had cerebral palsy or Bell's palsy. Oh my God, I sound like a fucking asshole. Cerebral palsy. Holy shit. Cut that out. Bell's palsy.
We got that. Cut it out.
Like my tumor. So it turns out that it's the best place possible. It's just on top of it. So they'd be able to.
Also, you're an expression. In addition to being a handsome gentleman, you're an expression filled gentleman. You are a colorful fellow, all about the expression and the selling of things. You'd need all of those nerves.
Indeed. And I was very concerned, not just because it potentially could have been a cancerous tumor, but fucking up my face was not something I wanted to do. So great news, not under, on top of, So the surgery is scheduled for this coming January the 3rd. So just in the new year, I'll be starting the year by getting my face cut open, but I'll be getting the tumor removed, and then we'll find out if it's cancerous. They're going to do a biopsy afterwards because there's no point in doing it ahead of time since the plan was to just get it removed. So hopefully I don't have cancer. And yeah, because both of my grandparents died of cancer. Well, not both. Both sets of my grandparents died of cancer. So cancer definitely runs in my family. Dude, and all prior to this,
hope,
I got...
Obviously, like, wishing all of the bloody good things for that man. Like,
appreciate it.
I'm really stoked. Like, it sounds... Obviously, you probably have, like, some moments when it's like, this is fucking scary and, you know, all the bad stuff. But then it sounds like you really... approaching this quite positively, man. I'm really happy to hear that. Like, and like, I guess, like, with this thing of it being on top rather than underneath, like, that's a win, you know? I think,
yeah,
it's about 100%. Celebrating in every one of these steps, like, those little wins.
I honestly have to give all the credit to taking some therapy earlier in this year and learning how to deal with my anxiety a bit better, because I definitely have a tendency to spiral. And I also have to give credit to my current lady friend, Rachel, who has been very supportive and giving me rational thought and telling me, like, there's really no reason to freak out until you know, and she was 100% right. So I got to give her a lot of credit.
For
but
sure.
Therapy worked wonders. Yeah, man, it's been a mixed bunch of bullshit throughout year, getting diabetes and all that nonsense. So, all right, well, yeah, I'm feeling better about it. Get that motherfucker out, and you know, like I said, I get to enjoy some pain pills. I quit marijuana recently in order to hopefully get a job with the states, which, you know, really hasn't been as troublesome as I thought it would be, even though I kind of want to smoke now that I know I have to go get my face cut open. even though I knew that ahead of time, I was just like, now it's impending, this surgery, so I want to get stoned. But yeah, man, I feel a lot better than I would have last year around this time if I found this information out. So, you know, things are looking up.
Absolutely. I mean, fuck. I really am stoked to hear about the therapy stuff. You know, I'm a big... you know, try to encourage anyone that's like, if you've gone through some stuff, like, just talk to a professional. It's inevitable. It's not going to make it worse. You know?
No, not at all. And sometimes therapists, you know, they don't always, you know, just say, hey, you're doing the right thing. They call you on their shit. My therapist didn't so much, because apparently, you know, I'm right about a lot of things. So that was cool to find out.
There you go. I mean,
yeah, she clued me in on that. My last girlfriend was gaslighting me for a period of time. I was completely unaware. I thought only dudes did that.
Apparently not.
But yeah, let's not talk about her. Rachel's the awesome one. She's kick-ass.
Yes.
Canadian wrestling fan. She's super dope. And yeah, like, I couldn't have found a cooler chick to spend my time with, which is a blessing.
Oh, dude, that is so wonderful. I'm so happy to hear it, and also especially stoked to hear that she is a appreciator of Abdullah the Butcher.
Yep, and she fucking, her favorite wrestler is Vader, so you gotta appreciate a woman who loves a big 400-pound man who likes to smash things, which is a beautiful segue into one of the matches we're talking about tonight.
Heck yeah, it is. All right, let's get already here. So to start with, I will ask you a question, good sir.
Yes.
So we were talking about either discussing two matches or three matches today. Might I ask which way it went?
Well, I watched all three matches, so we can definitely talk about them. The one I was technically most excited about was... rather not a disappointment, just wasn't as spectacular as I thought it would be, but we can get there.
All right, we'll get into it. I'm gonna have you seen the illustrations in question for these matches?
Yeah, I just saw them pop up. Let me take a quick peek at them, give me a moment here.
Wait, in the chat or otherwise?
I saw them. I just seen you throw them up in the chat. I rarely look ahead of time.
Hang on, I don't think I've added them to the chat yet. They're the
only these ones. Are the last ones. I just saw them things in the chat.
Hold your horses. Here we go.
Give them up here. Get them now.
All right. We're doing this as preparedly as you would expect for this podcast.
Yeah, I went to look and I'm like, wait a minute, we didn't watch Suzuki getting chopped by Shibata this evening.
We did not. All right, so first cab off the rank, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking about a Lucha Libre classic from April 18th, 2004 in Consejo Mundial de Lucha Libre in Arena Coliseo de Guadalajara, not in Arena Mexico. That's an important thing, a little bit of a different environment here, one of the other many buildings that CMLL owns. For the CMLL World Light Heavyweight Championship between two of my very favorite luchadors of all time, that being Ultimo Guerrero and L.A. Park, a.k.a. the original La Parka. Friend, what were your immediate thoughts here?
My first thought was, what the hell? Why did this feed start before the match even began? Because literally, as soon as I started it, they were already mid-move. So I was like, well, that's interesting. But what a tremendous move. It was basically like reverse.
Did you click on part two first?
Oh, what? No, I watched the link. Holy crap, how much of the match did I miss? Well, that's fine.
All right, we'll talk about the final moments of the match.
Yeah, no, but I watched, like, it was like a 2 out of 3 falls, and I watched, like, 3 falls.
Right, so maybe you just missed part of the first fall, then.
Okay.
On the entrances.
Yeah, definitely that is the case. So, whoops.
That's all right. So
yeah, that's
with,
why it was so unusual
was
for me.
That match was so hard to find, dude. I just want to say that. Like, I was looking all around. I heard some people talking about this match, couldn't find it. Thankfully, I ended up going on Cubs fans' database of matches on CMLL blog. A fantastic resource for all English language gringos who like them some lucha. And he actually had it linked on there, like the full episode of TV from this Guadalajara tapings from 2004. Blows my mind how we can find this stuff, but I was so stoked we finally did.
That was one of my favorite bits, the fact that it was straight from TV, so it included some excellent commercials for products such as a delicious beer.
Yes! Oh man, all of those beers. We saw several of the same commercial, which was great,
yes.
Then we got another version of it, I thought, right near the end. Tremendous stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, you go ahead and start talking about the beginning of the match. I literally came in right when he did like the reverse wheelbarrow into the arm drag, which was a fucking thing of beauty, by the way.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I think the early part of this was sort of the feeling one and another out kind of thing. Like we almost got a bit of a Yave kind of approach to the proceedings here. I think this is a tremendous match to recommend to anyone who's either only seen, you know, WCW La Parka, or alternatively, you might have only seen like more recent LA Park, you know, maybe from his MLW stuff or Triple AR or whatever. Man, he could bloody well move here, and he's in his like somewhat larger phase, but he could bloody go. They pulled off some absolutely beautiful exchanges. I definitely remember some of those in the early part of this, gone from sort of like the you know, hold-for-hold, key and lock kind of wrestling to as it slowly sort of like, you know, increases the pace. And, yeah, one of the things of this match, I really thought the build throughout, you know, as most of your Ultimo Guerrero matches do, just I thought it had such a wonderful momentum as it just became more epic and more epic as it went on.
Yeah, now I feel terrible that maybe I should start the first half right now. yeah, honestly, I've always been a big fan of L.A. Park or La Parka, the original, the chairman of WCW. Mm-hmm. And I actually thought he was much thinner than his appearance when he was in WCW. So I was very appreciative of all his, you know, he literally has some incredible moves. He's very agile for a man his size. So I was pretty impressed. I had not seen this side of him. Plus, I mean, working with someone who bases so well, like Ultimo Guerrero, like fucking just some good shit, dude.
Oh, absolutely. Both of these dudes are, I think, tremendous foils for your more spectacular like technico kind of like wrestlers, as we saw a lot through you know, LaParca's WCW run, where just making dudes like Ray Ray and Hoovy like just look as spectacular as you ever did see. And then same thing could be said for Ultimo Guerrero, like you're saying. I think one of the all-time greatest like Rudo bases in Lucha Libre history, or at least of the contemporary kind of stuff that I've been able to watch over the years. You know, for dudes like Mystico or Volador Jr. or any of the more current kind of guys. Like, so it's super interesting seeing two of these you know, Rudos up against one another and just watch what a wonderful match it still was.
Yeah, the fans seem to be definitely in the corner of LaParca, because Ultimo Guerrero had a few gentlemen in his corner. So every time something good happened to him, they're all jazzed. He gets a pinfall. They jump in the ring. They're celebrating like the match is over. I honestly was quite amused when they kept doing that. Like, yeah, all right. It's already done. It's like, what? But okay.
I'll never get sick of the Los Guerreros like raising the roof taunt. So good.
So classic. Sometimes you got to put the roof down, though, if you raise it all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was a couple of things. Like I said, that arm drag, right after that, they did the same setup with the, like, it's kind of like a Casadora, but reversed. And they did a sunset flip that basically looked almost like similar to the Code Red, but it wasn't a standing up version where Red just gets on the back. They did a complete revolution. Oh, and
tremendous.
That was such a beautiful move. Oh my goodness. I had to rewind it and watch it a couple times.
Yeah, that was definitely a moment where I was considering, you know, for the moment for the illustration. But again, sometimes those really like quick, snappy kind of moves just don't really lend themselves to it as much.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But yeah, I really loved what you were saying about the 2 out of 3 falls like element of this, and obviously that being the real traditional way of doing it in Lucha. But
I always forget too, because the language barrier. I'm like, wait a minute, it's over. Wait, it's continue. Oh, okay, it's 2 out of 3, of course. Duh.
you gotta listen out sometimes. I just watched a tremendous match this afternoon between Mystico and Hechicero, a recent one from the end of November. And that was actually a 1-fall 1. So you know, if you weren't to know, that could really spoil the match if you don't know the amount of falls.
That's true. Everyone's like, all right, let's continue. Oh, wait. Oh, it's done? Oh, shit. Yep. Well, that's a bummer.
Gotta listen out to that. Dos y tres caídas sin límite de tiempo. Shout out.
What, translate that for me.
2 out of 3 falls and no time limit, I believe.
Oh, nice. John Kraft reference. Hey, John.
Hey, John. I don't think he's listening. He might be.
Oh, that's fine. There's another, again, further in, because I watched the last half again. Another great moment is Ultimo Guerrero had LaParca in the stretch muffler, but then he kind of turned him around and did a body clasp at the same time to get the tap out. So
Ooh, that was good.
Yeah, like I've never seen someone take a stretch muffler and then wrap the arm and then the entire body up. That's like next level shit right there.
Oh yeah, that is a signature of Ultimo Guerrero's there. I don't know if it's officially the Guerrero Especial, but very, very, very cool move. I remember, yeah, that's the kind of stuff where I originally first saw Ultimo Guerrero, probably back in the day when he was still teaming with Rey Bucanero, who were, you know, one of the greatest tag teams of the early to mid-2000s. And it's just that kind of stuff. You're just like, that is so damn cool. Like, both of these dudes, again, like, two of the coolest luchadors you ever did see.
And the masks. Both guys have tremendous masks. I never really got to appreciate Ultimo Guerrero's mask because I didn't check it out a whole bunch. And he eventually was unmasked, correct?
He was. Yeah, he lost it to Viano 5, I believe, or Viano 3, one of the two.
I think I've actually seen more matches of him without his mask, but it is such a fucking cool look. Oh, also, side note, when I was watching this, a band popped up on my phone. The name of the band was Black Tiger Sex Machine, and Ultimo Guerrero's mask kind of reminded me of Eddie's Black Tiger mask without the ears.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait a minute, Black Tiger Sex Machine, both of these guys, this band is named after both members of Gringos Locos.
Oh, there we go. I feel like they're that doing crazy? That on purpose. That's
I don't know.
Purposeful, they, you reckon?
I don't know. They're probably not even wrestling fans. I think it just happened. They're a weird techno band, so it'd be kind of weird if all of a sudden, like, yeah, we're going to name it after two wrestlers from Lucha Libre. That's a little side tangent. One thing I loved about this match, actually, is in Lucha, they sometimes, not every time, but they do this a lot where somebody will do a move and quickly within the same match, the guy has learned from it. So at one point in the match, La Parca is on the second rope backwards. He jumps off and does a Hurricane Rana and nails it perfectly. A little bit later in the match, he attempts it to do it again, and Ultimate Guerrero is like, nah, I'm going to powerbomb your ass. So he catches him and nice stiff powerbomb. I was like, wow, he literally learned from his mistakes earlier in this match.
I love it. You know, you go back to that well one too often, and you know you get your comeuppance as a result. But man, every one of those power bombs that Ultimo Guerrero does, I just like you hear about how hard those CMLL rings are, and I imagine maybe it were so even more at this point. And my gosh, it just really gives you a whole nother level of appreciation for a powerbomb.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Another thing of this match is some of the longest counting from a referee ever. Like, holy shit. Like, the guy would, like, count one, keep his arm in the air for at least a two count, and then come down again. I'm not sure if that's he's just trying to build suspense or his cadence is just terrible, but I was like, what the fuck is this dude doing?
I have a faint memory of perhaps they were doing a little bit of the Rudo referee kind of shtick where he was.
Oh, okay, that could be the case because they were so fucking long. Okay, that would validate everything that happened because I honestly was like, this guy is trying to let this motherfucker get out of these pinfall attempts.
Oh man, the referee had a real interesting look as well. I particularly liked. Sometimes I'll include the referee in the illustration, sometimes not. This is one of the ones where I was like, yeah, that guy is an interesting-looking referee, as most, Lucha referees are, I find, generally speaking.
You made him look incredibly crazy. He, like, it's an awesome drawing, but he looks like he's just staring so menacingly at both gentlemen.
In my reference screen grab that I did, he just had this look where he was kind of like really like intrigued as to what was going on, but he also looked kind of hella evil.
Nailed it.
Thank you. Yeah, I went with that moment as well because, like, you know, sometimes you have different moments of the action or whatever, but that's something I just really love about a good Greco-Roman knuckle lock, you know, and I feel like it really just sort of like, you know, sets the pace for the clash, especially because these are two guys that I just love so much. So one is sort of just like as much of almost like a classic like wrestling poster illustration kind of thing. Like the, I don't know. I had fun with this illustration and the color scheme as well. Like I sort of wanted to lean into sort of some of the colors that were of the dudes in the match, but also. Yeah, like my sort of light fluoro yellow kind of deal, and
you love salmon, and you love a salmon.
I do.
Yep.
On bagels too.
A little bit of lox. Yeah. I forget.
I threw you off with the bagel line, didn't I?
Yeah, it was the bagel thing. let me think. Oh, okay. Another awesome moment is. I remember the Greco-Roman knuckle lock you mentioned. I, as a commentator, I now do wrestling at least monthly and I've been doing it almost 2 years now. My favorite bit is anytime something ridiculous happens, or something that is not a traditional wrestling move, I will reference it as a Greco-Roman version of such or such. So I'll be like, oh, he is a Greco-Roman cane to the back or Greco-Roman thumb to the eye. So yes, I love a good Greco-Roman.
Yeah. All about it. Greco-Roman nutshot.
Yes. Oh, classic Greco-Roman nutshot. It's traditional. You always got to do it. there was another cool moment before we finish up on this match was there was a essentially a backslide, but he had all the body parts wrapped up, this being La Parca and sliding Ultima Guerrero. And then Ultima Guerrero bridges out onto his neck.
So like, beautiful.
This motherfucker. So good. So good. Yeah. And then the end of the match, he clearly has this thing won because he does a fucking inverted suplex off the top rope. And he still cheats. He still puts his feet on the ropes. Like, what the? You got to respect the heel that cheats even though he didn't need to.
Hey, maybe he did. We don't know. We don't know if it would have been a three if he didn't go with those dastardly tactics.
The guy did not move at all. He was done.
Again, that's another such a badass Ultimo Guerrero move, that that inverted suplex. So good. But yeah, this match really sums up why I love both of these dudes so much. You know, La Parca, or LA Park, one of the original reasons why I started watching and downloading CMLL back in the day, downloading them torrents back in the day in like 2003, watching it every week. And yeah, then once I started watching it, I got onto this Ultimo Guerrero guy and I was like, whoa, I had no idea about this dude, but he is incredible. And then he's become one of my real favorite luchadors as well. So this clash between the two of them, I knew I was going to like before I watched it, and then I watched it, and it somehow even exceeded my expectations. So a high recommendation there for everyone to seek it out. I will be sending it out in this Friday's newsletter as well. I'll include the link there for everyone who's signed up to that bad boy.
You got a newsletter? Are you going to do a zine?
I have already done one zine.
Nice.
I'd like to do a volume two. I use the first one as something I can give as a little extra sweetener, a little bonus for people sometimes in orders when I put them through, or you know, when I'm at markets and things like that. It can be a good one for, you know, people want to just pick up something and take something home and might not have to pay for it. Yeah, I love doing zines. It's very fun.
Do you have a plan to do a second calendar this coming year, or have you already completed it to have it released in time for the new year?
It's up. It's up, friend.
Oh, beautiful. I can't. I must admit, I have not followed all the stuff, but I have the previous calendar. Looking at it right now. Beautiful artwork. Yeah, so tremendous. Pick that shit up, people. Chris does a great job. Plus, sometimes we forget what day of the week it is, so a calendar is quite useful.
And how else are we meant to know when Blue Panther's birthday is?
I celebrated this year. I ran out and I donned blue on. I fought a panther. So, you know, that's how I do it up every year.
Bloody right on. Well, if you would like such a calendar, you can do so. ChrisThings.com.au. Jump on there. I've been sending a whole bunch of them out of late. Just actually have another order where as soon as I finish this this podcast, I'm going to travel across the other side of the city and hopefully pick them up before they close so I can take them with me to Sydney tomorrow. So,
hell yeah.
Yeah, all about it.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley, so to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free, like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
But now we get on to our second match of the lineup. This is one that I thought would appeal to you, my good sir, because it includes our big, bad, and dangerous team that we've spoken about before. And we both share a lot of love for that being Big Van Vader and Crusher Bam Bam Bigelow. In this one, they are wrestling the Steiner Brothers, who are also one of my favorite tag teams of all time. That took place on June 26, 1992, Day 8 of New Japan's Masters of Wrestling event for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. And that one took place in Budokan Hall. This was actually also one of the key matches that I aired as part of our latest Wrestling Club event at the Scratch. And I think everyone quite enjoyed these four big old boys just tossing each other around. I know I did. What did you think, my friend?
As my good lady friend Rachel would say, these big boys love to roughhouse, Chris. What a fucking match.
And you can't stop them. You come in there and you say, hey, that's enough tussling. They'll throw you out of the room.
I loved it. Honestly, I don't know what Big Bad Dangerous's entrance music, but it fucking got me hard as a rock. Not even kidding. No, I just loved it.
And no Viagra when you got Big Bad and Dangerous in the house.
No, sir. And then these are prime Steiner brothers, honestly. Like the Scott looking crazy, Jack, Rick being thick as fuck. You know, he's a little thick-headed too, but his body-wise, a little pretty damn thick. I love this damn thing from top to bottom.
Just looking fly as fuck too.
Hell yeah. Some guy named Braun Breaker totally aped their whole gimmick and look. This guy is a piece. No, I'm joking. They are so good. And Big Bad and Dangerous, like, I know you may feel differently, but I have to say Bam Bam Bigelow is the greatest man to ever wrestle who is near 500 or 400 pounds. The guy can move like a cruiserweight. He does everything. I love me some Bam Bam Bigelow.
As everyone should, man. My original point where I really fell in love with Bam Bam was actually as part of the Triple Threat with Shane Douglas and Chris Candido in ECW, which is a super wonderful period of his career. That sick match he has against Rob Van Dam. But then I went back to his earlier stuff. I finally then went into his Japanese stuff. Man, just such a tremendous wrestler. I would, not fault anyone for calling him the greatest big man of all time.
Yeah, just the way he moves and, like, personality-wise, the guy is selling facials, his reactions to other things in the ring. Like, one time, there's this tremendous match where he's wrestling Muda, and Muda does, like, this flip over the ropes, and Bam Bam's immediate reaction is to do a cartwheel and then spin around his hand and do a middle finger. I'm pretty sure it was Muda, but fucking A, what a tremendous moment. Like his improv is some better than people's planned matches. So love that guy.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And it was funny in this one because it felt like, so this is towards the end of the Big Bad and Dangerous's IWGP tag title run.
You don't say.
Without spoiling things. I guess once when people hear it, we spoilers are going to happen. You should have done your homework and watched this match by this point. So through that tag title reign, I feel like the Big Bad and Dangerous have kind of become the baby faces here.
The fans actually seem to fucking love the hell out of these guys, because how can you not love two big motherfuckers who just smash dudes? Like, honestly, that's what wrestling is all about. I love wrestling comedy, I love grappling, but the best part about wrestling is just big motherfuckers smashing people. And like when they first came out, they hit the ring and did that crisscross ring rope run or running the ropes.
Love it.
And the fans were freaking out. These men were just running the ropes and they're losing their fucking shit.
I mean, just imagine you're like a Japanese fan, like a Japanese salaryman or some shit, like going and seeing these wild, jacked up Americans, like in their crazy neon singlets and sweet mullet and handlebar mustache. How are you not going to go nuts for that?
That too, yeah. One other great moment was, it's later in the match, but there was a point where they went to a crowd shot and there was a man who had it looked like he had a cast on his hand, but he just started stomping his feet like he was so giddy to see these men beating the shit out of each other. I was like, that guy, I want to be friends with that guy. Also, Chris, did you notice how the code of honor was upheld at the beginning of this match? The men shook hands like true gentlemen.
That's what I mean. There are a few points where Vader was a bit of a sportsman. He had some sportsmanlike conduct here. It's impressive.
Indeed, indeed. There was a... The match started out with Scott versus Scott, and that was just something I was kind of amused. Look, Scott is fighting Scott. Single leg by Scott. Enziguri by Scott.
Wait, who's the other Scott?
Bam Bam Bigelow's real name is Scott.
I did not know this.
Oh, shit. Well, newsflash, Scott Bigelow.
Whoa. Dang. We're breaking kayfabe and giving out wrestlers' real names here on the podcast.
Not my intent. I just was amused by two Scots wrestling. It's my ADHD pattern recognition.
The other Scott?
Yeah. Yes, Scott Steiner and Scott Bigelow. These two guys. Wrestling is for Scots. That's what I say.
Love it. The biggest appeal to me of this was, like, I just wanted to see some dudes throw each other around, you know, because we have seen previously Big Bad and Dangerous, and especially in Vader, just throwing motherfuckers all about. And that is basically what the Steiner brothers are known for. So I was like, whoa, how is this going to work? And it delivered. We got some tremendous suplexes, power bombs, all sorts of shit in this one. It's funny, when I originally watched it, you know, in the wrestling club, and I think there's a lot going on, you know, you're talking to people and stuff. Then when I rewatched it, that was when this really, like, just, I was like, okay, this is the best match that I've seen this week. And it became my real favorite. But did it have that same appeal to you immediately, or did it take you a little bit?
No, right away I was full bore into this thing. Immediately it starts off, they're just toss the Steiner brothers to the outside. Then they jump off the top rope and clothesline both motherfuckers, and it just goes all out from there. Rick Steiner doing that little short jumping clothesline that he does, and then later in the match Vader did something very similar, which Scott used to take people's heads off, like literally it fucking crazy. And then there's a moment where Scott Steiner was trying to suplex Vader, or maybe it was Bam Bam, but he has him like in a belly to belly, like he's gonna toss him, and then he's like, oh no, I'm not strong enough, and gets totally squished. Like, that tremendous moment. I hope that was actually something planned and didn't really happen, because otherwise it's not as cool. But if they planned that spot, oh, tremendously entertaining.
Dude, I'm all about those spots where you're not quite sure whether it was just a fuck-up or whether it just was such a well-timed fuck-up to where it really, like, added to things. Like that whole, you know, Sasuke Liger bit from the Super J-Cup. Like, that's the magic of wrestling to me. Like, that's what we're talking about, you know?
When where Sasuke hits the man and Liger just goes over and starts stomping on him. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, where he like starts making fun of him for like missing the thing.
So good.
And then it goes right into the finish. Like, you couldn't have like written this more perfectly.
Yeah, 100%. I also noticed at one point when there was a big splash, I swear the announcer said big fat crash. Do you catch that too? Was that actually what the motherfucker said?
I did not catch that, but I hope so. That's tremendous.
Yeah, you're like, big fat crash! I was like, what the fuck? But that's great.
All right. If anyone's looking for a new name for their running splash in their world of indie wrestling, I feel like that should be the one.
Or that could be a guy's wrestling name. A guy named Big Fat Crash. I would not fuck with that guy. He sounds awesome.
Love it.
There was actually a couple moments that I was really impressed by, like Bam Bam when he did that butterfly suplex backbreaker. Like,
oh,
I didn't even know he did. I didn't know he pulled such a thing, and it was a picture perfect move. So good. Vader did a fucking dragon sleeper for a moment. Like, I was like, I didn't know Vader even knew how to apply a dragon sleeper. That's pretty fucking cool.
Oh yeah, I've seen that one a few times. I think he pulled it out in the match against Ricky Choshu that I had as a match of the week a little while back. The one where he's just like covered in blood and he just looked like
a
bear, and he's just like got that dragon sleeper, and it's just such a cool visual. But It's a sick move.
Tremendous match, yeah, overall.
Man, I think... Oh, it made me so happy, dude. And then, like, seeing... I think my favorite moment was the Frankensteiner, where Scotty, like, broke that out, and then Vader just goes, like, straight spikes on top of his head. Oh, my
God. I was actually going to mention that. It was a terrible angle from, like, the shot, because I got it from straight on. It wasn't a sideways this angle, but you could totally still tell that Vader got head planted into the mat. It was fucking great.
Man, and then even, like, the finish, like, I loved how, like, sort of, like, quick and punchy it was, and there was that one moment of little, like, you know, bit of, like, distraction, and then the Steiners, like, capitalized just a real, like, and a rad, you know, real impactful belly-to-belly that is that good can finish anything, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and also, the way out of the, basically, it was, Bam Bam had the match won, referee was down. He was counting the five count, got up, and then Rick got up and just tossed him. Like, and he got him up so good. Like, I know that motherfucker is strong, but I was still surprised on how easily he threw him.
Oh, man. Rick Steiner. I mean, obviously, Scott Steiner deserves his flowers, but Rick was awesome, too, in this early 90s, late 80s kind of period. My buddy Brad, when we were watching this at Wrestling Club, was just in awe of discovering how great Rick Steiner was during this time. I think he'd heard about Scotty, maybe not watched the most Steiner's matches. And I was like, yeah, dude, Rick used to be the fucking man. If anything, he was the one who was probably the better of the two first, right?
Oh, agreed. Because Rick was, of course, a singles wrestler before Scott showed up in WCW, your Varsity Club, all that jazz. And then...
Mm-hmm.
When Scott showed up, you're like, wait a minute, there's a bigger Steiner brother who's got bigger muscles? But I was shocked and surprised. And they were a tremendous tag team. These guys just beat the shit out of people. That's my favorite part about wrestling, again, is just big motherfuckers beating up other big motherfuckers. That's the most entertaining shit in the world.
Oh, yeah. And I think big is the best way to describe this match. And that is why I picked the particular moment of the illustration. Again, this was a really tough one, too. I was really close to wanting to pick one of those, like, power bombs that Vader was doing on Scotty, I think. Or there was some other stuff, too. Or, you know, if I had got a good angle of the Frankensteiner in question. But there was just something so great about that moment when Bam Bam has the sleeper on Scotty and you know, the dog-faced gremlins trying to encourage his brother to get to the ropes. And just in the illustration, I try my best to just make Bam Bam look as gargantuan as possible.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that one.
I actually did see this one before this evening, and first thing I was like, man, I have to get Chris to send me one of these legitimate initial prints. Like, I want the original versions of one of your drawings one time, because anything with Bam Bam, you know me, I go gaga for.
Oh, dude, it would be my pleasure to give you one of those. Hopefully I'm going to be making it out your way in the early part of next year after my brother's wedding in Mexico. So if we can make that happen, it'd be my pleasure to bring one of these things into your life, sir.
I hope so, because I honestly have, I think, 3 or 4 t-shirts that I have purchased for you over the years that you need to collect.
I am forgetting them at this point, but I remember, like, one of them was that awesome Mike Awesome one.
There's a Mike Awesome one. Oh, then I know 3. There's a Mike Awesome one, and there's, I think, maybe the New Jack it looks like a airbrushed one. I think that's one of them. And then an all-over print Minoru Suzuki one. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
It's been so long, I completely forget about these. It'll be the best best surprise present. All right. Hopefully we can make this happen. Okay, but that brings us to match 3 here of our triple header.
Oh, man, Chris.
Oh?
I must admit, this match was kind of a letdown for me. Like, it was technically sound.
Oh,
it was fine.
Shit.
And I love Eddie Guerrero. He's legit.
Well, let me get the intro in.
Sorry. You know what? I was too upset I had to interject. Go, please, proceed.
Hey, when the feels get you, man. So this one took place on November 30th, 2001 for ICW, which was the big New York indie of the time and the ashes of ECW, taking place at the New York home of Extreme Championship Wrestling, the Madhouse of Extreme, the original Queens Elks Lodge before it was sold to a church. This is being for the ICW World Championship, Eddie Guerrero against Loki. This is Eddie's first match on the indies after his exit from WWE. And this match just made me real happy to watch. So I'm intrigued to see what parts of it maybe didn't meet those expectations for you, friend.
It wasn't even the match, like the venue, beautiful. The Loki, I'm a fan of. I legitimately love Eddie Guerrero. If I had to be asked my favorite wrestler of all time, it would certainly be him. But this is like just those guys not going through the paces. It was a fucking sound match. But this commentary team, dude. These guys on commentary talked so much shit. They were absolutely awful. They did not build any excitement about what was going on. And the one guy even at one point said, "Oh, sorry, folks. I was just watching as a spectator and I was not commenting." The guy stopped calling the match. Another point, he's like, step over crossface. STF. No, that's not the name of the move. What are you doing? So I was really taken out by these two fuckers, even though Eddie and Loki were having a perfectly fine match. I've seen a lot of their both matches and I've seen them do spectacular things. It was a perfectly passable match. There was nothing particularly wrong, but nothing particularly out of this world. They've definitely had better encounters with other individuals. And maybe I was too hyped up because I inspected Loki to be insane. Eddie was definitely Eddie. He was classic and polished and beautiful as ever. But I don't know. This commentary team really took me out of the whole affair. And I was expecting a little bit more drama between these two.
From watching a lot of indie wrestling, I've suffered through some terrible commentary, especially.
And I'm not great. I'll admit it. I do commentary every month. I'm not the best commentary team, but I can at least follow the match and I don't sit there silently. Yeah.
I actually like that. That was my favorite part. I was like, fuck yeah. I like the bit where they kind of like forget that they're actually meant to be commentating because they get so sucked into the match.
And I don't think they were sucked in. They were just watching.
Like, focus more on the match.
No, thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what I liked about it.
Please.
So for me, again, I think I probably gave the commentary a bit of a pass because I've just seen a lot of indie wrestling that has terrible, terrible commentary. So on that scale, I actually thought this commentary was decent on the sliding scale of indie wrestling commentary. And then the other side of it was like, so looking at the two dudes at the points in their career, right? So this is Loki, like probably the youngest Loki, you know, that I've seen. When I started watching Loki, it was probably that start of ROH Loki. So this is just prior to that in 2001. So it is sort of like that squeaky clean, like baby-faced hero, not the fighter size of the dog, but the size of the fight he will bring, Loki. Really cool offense, and I felt like this match was about Eddie kind of like plugging that cool offense into the right places. So Eddie obviously like controlled most of this match, but what I liked about it when I was really watching it carefully was Eddie obviously was going to be the big massively over babyface of this match. You know, he's returned to the indies. First match outside of WWE, this indie crowd is loving him, and it's his job to turn them, not necessarily turn them on him, but to put their investment into Key. And I thought he did a masterful job of that. You know, he obviously like controlled a lot of the match, slowed it down quite a bit, but he put like Key's cool shit in just the absolute best places. I thought he like built stuff up really, really well. for the crowd to be so invested when Loki did have his like comeback, and obviously the ultimate finish of the match in Key shockingly going over Eddie in Eddie's first match on the Indies, which I thought was like, you know, looking back at it, how many guys get out of WWE and are like, you know what, I'm going to put this motherfucker over. Like, if there's anything I'd ever needed to like Eddie more, you know, that was it. But yeah, I just thought Eddie did a great job in elevating a really young version of Loki in this. And I thought Loki, as that white meat baby face with cool as fuck offense, was perfect in his role. And yeah, the, obviously all the nostalgia for the venue and the time and place and all that kind of thing, and just the
beautiful venue, the weird beautiful little venue.
Dream match that this was, that, you know, so, you know, it's just a real fascinating thing that this even took place, you know, that these guys were sort of like crossing paths at this point. I felt like it was almost like a little gift from the wrestling gods in that sense.
Oh my goodness. I could appreciate that thinking as well, but I honestly was not shocked by the finish. I assumed Loki was going over, and not even because in retrospect I knew that Eddie Guerrero did not win this ICW title. It had nothing to do with that. I literally like, well, Key's gonna win this, Eddie's gonna make him look good. And again, it was perfectly passable match. I won't say great, it was definitely a well timed and great match overall. I guess I said great again, but I don't think it'd be anything where I like, if you want to go and watch one of the greatest Eddie Guerrero matches of all time, I would not even consider this one. But I like Loki as a professional wrestler. He as a douchebag is a big of a douchebag. But yeah, I hate that I didn't like it so much, because it really was the match that I was looking forward to the most. I saved it for last to watch. I'm like, oh yeah, this is going to be killer. Loki's going to be trying to kick this motherfucker's head off. And I just didn't get everything I was hoping for. And again, I will not say it's by any means a terrible match, because it's not. It's definitely a good match. It just wasn't all I was hoping it to be. I didn't even write much commentary, because I was like, well, they're doing the thing that you would expect to do. It's the same offense Loki is known for, and Eddie doing his Eddie stuff. Like, but the commentary team were like two... Whoa, what's going on? Is there a dog attacking you over there?
Yes. There was someone walking past the front of the house, and of course,
I was like, all of a sudden, whose music started with dog barking? I thought that was good. No, actually, I thought it was Ben Caught Stealing by Jane's Addiction began all of a sudden. But yeah,
you were going, the Rottweilers were coming out.
Hey, there you go.
Key and Homicide.
Hell yeah.
J-Train out here.
Oh, Julius Smokes, man. I used to always put Julius over, and every once in a while he would vanity search himself and retweet the same tweets of me talking about how awesome he was. But I digress. Perfectly fine match. I guess my expectations were so high they couldn't have possibly lived up to it. And then these two guys, one guy who literally hardly said anything at all, and the other guy who didn't give any story. He just did play-by-play periodically. I was like, what is going on over there?
I think
Sorry.
One of the other things
Sorry, Eddie. Sorry, Loki.
That's okay. It's okay. We all have our own opinions on this, and I feel like it makes it a bit more interesting, you know, when we're maybe have a little bit of a difference of opinion here. But one of the things...
Hell yeah, I'd normally gush about every fucking match you provide.
And let me tell you, sir, I do not want fake gushing. I can tell the difference.
Oh, I would never. You know me. I'm honest to a fault.
I also wanted to bring attention to, I really liked that for so much of that first WWE, WWF run that Eddie had, a lot of it was like Gaga and character shtick and having to work with China and all that. And we didn't really get to see Eddie as the amazing wrestler that he is. Like, I can't really even think of, from that first run that he had in WWF, any great matches that he was able to have during that period. Obviously, he had a whole bunch of amazing matches in WCW, in ECW, in Japan. But during that WWF, the first WWF run, I don't remember him actually getting to wrestle.
Right after he was part of the Revolution or whatever, the Rebellion, whatever they were called, and then... He got injured,
Radicals.
So yeah, The Radicals. I think I was thinking of the name, the Revolution, were they in WCW. I forget
WCW
their name.
With yeah. Shane Douglas.
Oh, fucking A, that guy. But yeah, you're 100% right. The first run of Eddie wasn't the best. Then he got injured, so they paired him with China, and that got him over character-wise. Like, it gave a new side of Eddie as far as that is concerned. And then after that, the guy was off to the races. His heel run as champion and him coming out to the ring for that one promo where he literally said not a word and the fans were booing him out of the building. The guy, legitimately the greatest of all time. And that's a strong thing to say, but for me, I could not gush more about Eddie Guerrero. That's why I was not going to say disappointed, a little let down.
Are you talking about his second run with the company?
When he returned and he became fucking awesome. Yeah. When he was the next level.
Right. So, I mean, that's what I'm trying to say here. I'm like, in that first run in WWF, WWE, he didn't really get to show the great wrestler that I know Eddie to be. So this man, that was one of the reasons I adored this, because we just got to see Eddie wrestle. Like, we got to see Eddie bring back more of his, like, Black Tiger style, more of that, like, Eddie that we saw in those, like, Dean Malenko classics. We just got to see him, like, actually wrestle for, like, a decent, you know, better part of 20 minutes match. And I really enjoyed that, just getting to see that side of Eddie that he hadn't really been able to show for a long time. So I think that was maybe part of it that I really appreciated.
Yeah, that makes sense. I honestly may have to go back and watch this again, because I did watch two tremendous matches prior to watching this and was like saving it as my main course. And then I'm like, oh, this is fine. It's like, you know, mashed potatoes are delicious, but this had no garlic or chives or any extra salt and pepper.
There's no gravy?
No gravy. No. I need some of that Eddie gravy. Oh, what the hell am I saying? I told you to get more off the rails. Eddie I told gravy. You. Eddie Gravy. That should be a wrestler name. Holy shit, that would be good. Eddie Gravy? Holy crap.
Oh my gosh. Well, in this one, while we're on the finishing moments of the match, like I said, I think a big part of it, why I dug it, was that Eddie, you know, being in control and like leading that match, like, and also like thinking about it as well, like, you have to sort of like break it down time and places a bit. And I think at this point, this had to have been easily the biggest match of Loki's career. So we weren't seeing that, like, Loki that had come out here all cocky and kick someone's head off, because he's wrestling, like, Eddie fucking Guerrero, you know? And I think it's almost like you can forget about the massive level and star that Eddie already was by that point, too. So that was one of the interesting things. But, yeah, I mean, that's why I picked this moment of, like, Eddie having Key in that headlock, and he just has this little glimpse where you get that, like, classic, like, Eddie smile, kind of that little glint in his eye, glint. I don't know what I'm going for there.
Both work, Brad. Your vocabulary is on point.
But yeah, so that was why I picked that moment. And then, of course, also wanting to make sure to do as much justice as I could to the beautiful surroundings that was the Madhouse of Extreme. That was one of those venues where I wish I could have gone back in time and been in the crowd for some of those shows. You know, the ECW ones. I think the first ever Ring of Honor anniversary show took place at this venue. I think one of the early MLW shows in the original run took place here. And then obviously this little run from ICW. And also, did you notice the entranceway was still using the exact ECW entrance set?
Yeah, with the gates or the chain link fence. Yeah, I was honestly, I was like,
yeah, the bricks.
So stoked. The brick background. I was so stoked about the venue. I was like, hell yeah. About getting this awesome match at this killer venue. All these weird New York looking dudes. Like, by the way, these fans, so New York looking. It was, oh my so God. New York. Oh, it was ridiculous. Like, a couple of guys who just look like thumbs. No insult to New Yorkers, but. Hey, a dog's back. The dog's doing the running. That used to be my dog. Yep.
No, now it's mine. Oh, Badger.
Badger, that is a great name for a dog. I love it.
She is black and white, and I'm sure just as cuddly if you captured a badger in the wild and gave it a hug.
Well, that's dangerous. I would never touch that dog then. Badgers? Oh, we don't need no stinking badgers.
All right. I think she's just giving us up. No, there she goes.
Yeah, that's
again.
Fine. It's a happy badger. Dog. She's Chris, there's people outside. Her father is in there. She's trying to keep you safe. You got to respect it.
She's doing her job, you know? She's just like, this is what my responsibility in life is, and you know, you can't fault that.
Amazing.
Well, I think we've reached the climax of the show here. The Eddie Gravy, as it
were. The Eddie Gravy. Holy shit! Nice.
I knew there was something I could do with that. All right, yes. There we go. That's a payoff.
very nice.
Well, my friend, it's been very good to have you back again. It always feels like it's been too long, but let's rope you back in for another one as soon as possible.
I am down. My schedule is a little bit chaotic now because I don't get home until pretty late in the evening, which is fairly late in the morning for you, I imagine. So yeah, definitely. Oh, hey, our buddy Jonah, our big Bronson Reed, just liked one of my tweets where I was putting over Bam Bam Bigelow. Speedy recovery to our friend. Ooh. Bronson Reed, by the way.
Yes.
Poor guy. Amazing. Absolutely. Spot. Hurts his foot, but hopefully he comes back soon. He was getting a nice big push and fans seem to be really appreciating him. So I can only imagine how excited they will be upon his return, where he just smashes the shit out of Seth Rollins, I imagine.
I hope so. Yeah, man. Get well there, brother. And I cannot wait to see you back. And I hope that that big old push continues, because I was so stoked to see him plugged into the whole Bloodline thing. And,
like,
the
first Anoa'i, the non-Anoa'i Samoan to be part of the Bloodline. Like, fucking A. Pretty impressive.
So good. And the idea of eventual matches between him and Jacob Fatu, reuniting.
Holy
that
shit.
Thing from man,
how amazing.
So
is
much
Jacob
good stuff to be.
He's Jacob is killing it. Sorry to digress, but holy shit, those guys, tremendous job.
Yeah, man, I'm just happy for him, shout out to LA Park. Like, I remember Jacob Fatu killing it in that awesome match against LA Park in MLW with the back in the Chicago, what's that MLW Chicago venue? Anyway, doesn't matter. But that match was sick. So I'm so stoked to see Jacob Fatu killing it up on the big stage there.
Hell yeah!
But do you have any plug skis for us, friend?
I can figure something out. My Twitter account is not nearly as impressive as it used to be. I, at some point, got banned, shadow banned or something by Elongated Muskrat. So give me a follow on Twitter, trying to rejuvenate that bitch. I'm also on Blue Sky and X. Search James Vanderbeek, Instagram as well, Threads, all that jazz. I have a wrestling related and funny gimmicky t-shirt shop on pentagonzo.com. So if you need something fun this holiday season, definitely take a peek at pentagonzo.com. I've got some Chapel Roan and wrestling mashups, because she's all the rage and I'm one to jump on a trend as quickly as possible. But I'd remiss if I didn't promote the wrestling company I'm involved in. It's SOS Pro Wrestling. We run our shows once a month down in Tacoma, Washington. We're also on IWTV. So if you want to hear me call any pro wrestling matches, which may be bad and kind of ironic with how badly I spoke about those gentlemen earlier, but we have a lot of fun. I'm actually much better than those guys. I'm just underselling myself. I'm much, much better than those guys. So check it out on IWTV. But yeah, that's basically it. James Vanderbeek, aka Jeremy Tate, that is me, your Uncle Beak. Get at me.
Get on it. And everyone, if you need some design services, or you're
hell
a
yeah.
worker and you need a t-shirt done, hit up my friend Jeremy. He does tremendous work on the t-shirt front. You designed, I'd say, my favorite LA Park t-shirt design that I ever did see. You won for MLW there.
Unfortunately, oh, yeah, thank you.
Didn't get to procure it before LA Park's unfortunate implosion with MLW, where I believe he got into a fight with Alex Hammerstone and Jacob Fatu or something. I digress.
Wow, not shocked. What, the Park family misbehaving? You couldn't... Oh, man, I would never expected that.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Oh, yeah, that's wrestling for you, baby.
But yeah, I say that to plug your excellent T-design abilities, and everyone get at it. I think now would be a great time, you were saying, you know, especially over these next few weeks, might be a good time to hit you up.
Yeah, I'm out of work with my face getting cut open, so if you need any design work, I work reasonably cheap and also reasonably fast, so let me know.
Do that, everyone. And if you, I'd like to say a big old thank you to Social Suplex before I forget that. Thank you to the great team over there, keeping the lights on, allowing us to do this silly old wrestling art podcast to talk about these favorite matches of the week. SocialSuplex.com, the home to this podcast and a variety of other rad wrestling podcasts, from One Nation Radio to Keeping It
Tunnel
Strong
Buddies,
Star, New Japan Podcast, the Tunnel Talk Podcast.
Oh shit! Fucked up.
Trish and Sarah podcast. The Imps WWE.
They got ladies on this network.
All Things Elite. Yeah, they allow the ladies to
Mad
talk.
Mad respect to the ladies
on this podcast. About
I love
time,
it.
I say.
Fuck yeah! Misogyny is total bullshit.
A lot of great stuff. Yeah, yeah. Yay, yay to females having a voice. All about it.
Hell yeah. It actually kind of sounds misogynist the way we're putting it over so much.
I know.
I was just kidding around, guys. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, continue on.
Can we make this any more weird?
We probably could, but I'll stop.
If any of y'all would like to buy the Chris Things, you know the place, christhings.com.au, the home for all of those art prints keys, these prints of the matches of the week, mugs, calendars, books, you name it. I just got an order this morning from Kuwait, of all places,
whoa,
which I was super stoked about. So if any one of y'all are listening to that and you say, hey, that's me, I'd like to say thank you very much for being my first ever purchase from Kuwait. But I appreciate everyone that purchases, everyone that supports. You guys are all rad. I do my best as a one-man operation to get these off in a timely fashion. So I appreciate everyone there, and I try to make every order as special as I can with a nice little hand-done note or some extra goodies or whatever it is for you. So everyone, please know that I just appreciate you on that front, and we appreciate all of our listeners here who give us the time to indulge our ramblings about Eddie Gravy. Just so nice.
He's tasty. He's saucy. He's Eddie Gravy.
Yes, please do a curry man take on the Eddie Gravy. I feel like,
oh god, that'd be good. A big fat guy in a curry man mask, but he's like got a bowl of gravy on the top of his head. Oh, or a gravy boat. Holy shit, that would be amazing.
So many options. All right, guys, it's time to shut this down, but I'd like to thank you all again. Thank you, Jeremy. This has been a fun one.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me once again, and let's not make it so long next time.
Agreed. All right, well, thank you, everyone, and good night, and we'll see you next week. Enjoy!
Send him off with a kiss.
I like it.
Yeah.
I got
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.